Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age."
So as I said at the start, today is Trinity Sunday, the day on which smart vicars make sure they put someone else on the rota to preach. Oh dear. If you do have to preach on Trinity Sunday, then the best that you can hope for is that no one else at church that day has a theology degree. Hands up if you have a theology degree. A few, three or four. That's not too bad. I was going to say, and even better, to make sure that somebody who's overseeing the master's course that you're doing isn't in church when you do this sermon. Is anyone overseeing the master's course that I'm doing? Oh dear. Never mind. So Trinity Sunday is the Sunday in the church calendar when we celebrate the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, the idea that we have one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the baptism, we mentioned each of those three persons several times. And actually, I think for a lot of people, the idea of the Trinity is a little bit esoteric. And because we struggle to sort of get it, I think we can easily assume it doesn't really matter. It's one of those things we can just tuck away. But I am increasingly convinced that the way we understand God, the way we understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is vitally important because it shapes who we are as the church and it shapes how we are in the world. It's worth me saying at the start that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all feature throughout the Bible in both the Old and the New Testaments. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is sometimes referred to as wisdom or the breath of God. And the prophets look ahead to the coming of Jesus. But there's no single Bible passage that you can point to that encapsulates the doctrine of the Trinity. So different bits of the Bible are a bit like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, and over time, theologians have put those pieces of the puzzle together, and slowly a picture of the Trinity has emerged. So I'm not speaking directly from today's Gospel reading from Matthew, but I'll be drawing instead on Trinitarian theology. And I wanted to start by offering you a picture of the Trinity that I've been thinking about a bit this week. Imagine that you are walking through Hither Green, or insert here a place where you live, on a sunny afternoon in spring. The sun is on your back. You feel like you are warm for the first time in months. In the distance, you see the local pub. People have spilled out onto the pavement, and they're smiling and laughing. There are people of all ages, and they are enjoying the sunshine. That wonderful feeling you only get in this country when the sun finally comes out, and we all go, "We're happy." As you approach the gate to the pub garden, someone calls out to you, and you see one of your friends sitting at a table with two others, and they're beckoning you over. And there is something about the warmth of their company and the appeal of a cold drink on a hot day that draws you to them. A space is made, a chair is pulled up, and out of nowhere, an extra glass appears. And you spend a deliciously happy afternoon enjoying their hospitality and maybe a glass of something crisp and white too. I would say if you remember nothing else from today, then remember this. That the Trinity is a relationship, and it is a relationship into which we are beckoned and welcomed. The Bible tells us that when we're baptized, as the two children were this morning, we become one with Christ. We die with Christ. We are raised to new life with Christ. That means that we share in his sonship, and we become children of God. And because we're joined with Christ, we're welcomed into that relationship of love that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are literally offered a seat at God's table. So the thing that I want you to notice here is not that there are three persons of God, but that there is a relationship within God. And it's a relationship that is open, and that is makes space and desires others to participate. It is an inclusive relationship, not an exclusive relationship. In Genesis chapter 1, in the story of creation, God says, let us make mankind in humankind in our own image. So God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Being created in the image of God doesn't just mean that I look like God or you look like God in some way because each of us reflects the attributes of God. It means that the way that we relate together as a community reflects something of the way that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit relate to one another. So being a human made in the image of God is not just about individual characteristics, it is about our corporate life together. So how we are together says something about who God is. When I was thinking about this sermon, I walked past a man in the street who had his headphones in and he was walking along singing aloud to whatever he was listening to. And I find myself thinking that that is often how we think about faith, that it's this kind of individual relationship with God that nobody else kind of is in on. It's just like us and God, and we're in tune with God and are plugged into him. But actually, I wonder if a better image is more like a choir singing in the park at a community festival, where each of us is invited to join in and sing our own part and somehow hope that we are in harmony together. So shifting from that idea of it's me and God with my headphones in to it is us and God making this joyful noise together. If we can understand that God is relational, and that the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is open and welcoming and makes space for others who are different to come and participate, then that will shape our behaviour and our life together. Some of you will know that I've recently taken over as area dean in our deanery. That means, along with the bishop and the archdeacon, I share in the oversight of the 14 parishes in East Lewisham. And one of the things I am really enjoying, and everyone keeps going, are you enjoying it? And I'm going, I'm really enjoying it. But I'm really enjoying working with colleagues who are different to me. So I've got one colleague who is a conservative evangelical, who has a traditional view on issues of sexuality and gender and marriage. And I also have a colleague who is much more Catholic, who doesn't believe in the ordination of women. And you know what? I have found both men to be really godly, to be gracious, to be humble, to be open, and to be generous. My colleague, who does not believe in the ordination of women, said to me, how can I serve you as area dean? I was overwhelmed. I am very grateful to be in relationship with those two men, even though we are very different to one another. And actually, I think they quite like me too. There is something very special about finding that even though we disagree fundamentally on some things and there are complexities to our relationships, that I love them. I really love them. And I can learn from them, irrespective of our differences. And I hope that somehow that echoes what is happening in the person of God. If we understand who God is and how God is, that will shape our life together within this church and between churches. But it's not just about our relationships within the church, it's also about how we as a church and as Christians relate to the world of which we're a part. In this morning's reading from Matthew, we hear Jesus commissioning his disciples to go into the world and to continue the work that he started. And sometimes the way that we talk about these verses can give the impression that Jesus has sort of handed the baton on to the church and then he's retired from the race. Like, I've done my bit here, over to you, I'm off to heaven to hang out with the Trinity. But if you look at what Jesus says here, he actually promises that he will be with them always to the very end of the age. So we, the church, are not doing this work of making disciples for Jesus, we are doing it with Jesus. Hear the difference. Jesus has not retired and left the building along with Elvis. Jesus remains here and present by his Spirit, and we are working with him, not for him. So sometimes when Christians talk about mission or outreach or serving the community, the way we talk gives the impression that God is not there until we arrive. Don't worry, local community, the vicar's here, I've brought God with me, you're all okay now. Funnily enough, actually, God is already there. And in fact, it's God's world. God created it. Scripture tells us that at the beginning of creation, the Spirit hovered over the water. We're told that the Word was God and is God, and through him all things were made. God always has been here, is here now, and always will be here. So God is inviting us to participate in what they are already doing. Sometimes in church we can spend time worrying about what we should be doing in the community. And meanwhile, I just wonder if God is in the pub garden going, over here, I'm here, over here, come and join me. Trying to catch our attention. A few years ago as a church we started a food bank that we continue to run today, a food bank for vulnerable migrants. And before we started that project we'd spent 6 or 7 months as a PCC saying we want to do something for the community. What should we do? We don't know, we don't want to overstretch ourselves, we're not sure. And then after several months of this conversation, a charity locally that worked with vulnerable migrants approached us and said, we need a hall and we need a fridge. And we went, oh, we've got a hall. And it just so happens another local vicar was moving away and he said, I've got a fridge, does anyone want to buy it for 50 quid? And it felt like to me God was saying, you know, you've been having these discussions and God has been busy there working through this local charity, AFRL, and then God says, do you want to come and join in? Have you got a hall and a fridge? And we go, yeah, we have. And so that's how it came into being. Was that chance? Well, yeah, maybe. Or actually, is that an example of God being at work in our world and then God inviting us to participate in that work? I think it's amazing. It means that the skill for us that we need to develop is sensing where God is. So Trinity Sunday reminds us that the Trinity is a relationship into which we are invited. We're invited to participate in the love and the life that is shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're also invited to participate in what God is already doing in our world. So the next time someone invites you to the pub, or the park, or the gym, or the library, or wherever it may be, you might like to say yes. Because maybe God is already there, and God's saying, come and join us, pull up a chair, would you like a drink? Amen.